Hey, what's up? Welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go. What is happening? We are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. As always, I'm here with my brother and my co-host, Mr. Jake B.
You!
Safer, much safer.
Safer.
Okay. And today we have a very special guest, someone we met this summer on the tour, Nick Wold from the Dreamers. How are you, brother?
Fantastic. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. We were lucky enough, Nick had a writing session today out in Costa Mesa, which is very close to our studio, so he decided to stop in and jump on the podcast.
Hell yes. It's an honor to be here.
You guys are in LA right now?
Yeah, we live in LA. We tour all the time. We're based in LA, home base. We were in New York before that, moved here when we signed a record deal. The rest is history.
Nice. Originally from Seattle?
Yeah, I grew up in Seattle.
Nice.
So I was about 18 and lived in New York after that.
And you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you left Seattle to go to New York around 18 to study jazz sax?
Yes. Who told you that?
Wikipedia.
Yep, we dug deep.
Yeah. I played saxophone since I was a little kid. That got me into college at NYU.
Nice.
Which I probably wouldn't have gotten into otherwise. Fell in love with New York. Lived there for 10 years since then.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
You miss it?
I get to go there on tour.
I was going to say, you get to go there probably pretty often.
I love New York. It's probably my favorite city in America. It's special.
Awesome.
It's just a crazy special place, you know. But, you know, I'm really happy to be here right now.
Nice.
It's been good. LA's been good.
Jeez, West Coast is nice.
Yeah, West Coast, the weather. But you've lived in Seattle, New York, LA. It's three, like, pretty popular cities.
I'm a city boy.
Yeah, worldwide popular. Like, everybody knows all three of those cities. Seattle mainly because of the grunge era. That just put them on the map. And then that's crazy. Could you ever envision yourself living in the country? Would you ever want to slow it down?
I don't know.
No.
Probably not.
That's crazy.
I love going out to the country. Mm-hmm. I love nature, like, a lot.
Yeah.
But I always feel like at home when I'm around lots of terrible noise and screaming people.
That's cool. I mean, we live in Huntington Beach and, you know, born and raised there, been there pretty much my whole life. And I'm not a city boy.
Yeah.
I go to the cities and I'm cool for like 2 days and I'm like, all right, time to go.
Yeah.
I need like that peace.
The energy is amazing. Yeah, it's one of those things where if I go for the weekend, I'm like, I could live in a city like this. And then if I'm there for longer, I'm like, I don't think I could survive.
I couldn't.
Used to things being quiet.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, roads being wide and places to
being
park.
Being able to just
it's a whole different life.
Park in front of a restaurant and just go eat and then just walk back to your car that's in front of the restaurant.
I might be on my way there because that's kind of how I feel about LA. I'm like, oh, now I live out in the peace and quiet of LA.
Yeah.
After being in New York where it's
you can't
garbage trucks
it.
At 4 a.m. And just
and
like,
don't get me wrong, I love New York every time
and
we go there. I was
always
so
excited. Like,
amazing.
Yeah.
That energy, I'd be going to bed in my Manhattan apartment and just hearing this people partying downstairs at like bars and restaurants open late at night. It's kind of made me comfortable. I'm like, the kids are all right.
Yeah. and New York has just the best restaurants.
Yeah.
So like anything you want, they got it. And they got it like probably an amazing restaurant serving it.
Oh, yeah.
That's one thing I definitely love about New York.
Well, let's go back. I'm kind of interested in all this. So you're born in Seattle. Is that what's up?
Yeah.
Born and raised. Seattle. And then what goes on? What's your musical life? What do you play first? Trumpet?
Yeah. No, saxophone.
Saxophone.
I guess
trumpet.
Ever since I was two, my mom says I wanted to play sax, but I didn't start till I was like 11. And they would teach it at school, you know. And yeah, I grew up kind of studying jazz and learning that in that way. Before that, as a kid, like I was... I had a big sister who was 5 years older. She was old enough to be like in high school during the whole grunge wave.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she like showed me what was cool. And I grew up with, you know, Nirvana and Weezer and Cranberries.
Did your sister cry when Kurt Cobain died?
Oh, yeah.
I remember the day.
Oh,
I was in middle school. I think I was in seventh or eighth grade. And I remember going to school and like half the school was crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a devastation. But I remember it well.
Yeah.
But I would say it's like... some people had Jesus. We in Seattle had Kurt.
Yeah.
And my sister was a total alt kid, you know, total Wiccan, black finger paint, you know. So she loved all that music and she showed me all that stuff, which is still my favorite music. So.
It's amazing.
Were your parents musical?
My dad played guitar, you know, just kind of hippie vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Always sang. He sang to me when I was a little kid. My first memory, him singing the Pony Man.
Oh, that's awesome.
But they're never professional musicians. Okay. I've learned about some. Apparently, my dad's dad was a world-class cornet trumpet player. But my dad never heard him play because he kind of put it away and just got serious about work and kids and, you know, post-war kind of attitude.
Damn. So yeah, it's in there. It's in the genes, no doubt.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. That's what I learned later in life.
And then, so you're playing the sax, and then you're doing that in school. You're 11, you're 12. What are you doing it? Outside of school or with a school band?
School band.
School band.
The jazz band. My high school jazz band was kind of like a big deal.
Yeah?
It was like Friday Night Lights for us of jazz.
Really? Oh, that's awesome. A bunch of parents coming, like just crowds filled?
Yeah, we rehearsed a lot, and we did like the national competitions in New York.
Oh,
we got second place my senior year. Like we took it really seriously. So.
Okay, awesome.
That's cool.
So serious musician all the way through high school, but not in a band, as we know you now.
No.
In a jazz band with your school, competition style.
Yeah, just band nerding out.
And through all that time when you were playing sax, were you also playing guitar?
No, I never played guitar till I was 18 in college.
Okay.
I kind of started realizing as I got older that I didn't want to be a jazz saxophone player.
Yeah.
I felt like that genre, the good stuff to me is all long gone, you know, and that what jazz is now, it's kind of either revivalism or it's kind of like too mathy and too intense for anyone to really relate to it.
The only people that get it are the people playing it.
Yeah, exactly. Music for musicians.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to make music that people could hear. I wanted to communicate. Mm-hmm. That was kind of my main drive. Express things that I couldn't express with words and for people to hear it and come together. So
totally.
Felt like with rock, you could be deep, but also popular. And that was the perfect kind of happy medium.
So then real quick to go back. In high school, you're playing jazz. I'm assuming you're listening to a lot of jazz, probably old jazz and stuff when you're in high school. Are you listening and Nirvana and all that? That's after, right? Because your sister was the one who was in high school doing the Nirvana thing.
Yeah, that was kind of more my childhood, and then the Beatles for my parents and all that stuff. But then I got really into jazz, and it wasn't until the end of high school. I'm super depressed. I don't like the music that everyone at my school likes, which was kind of all like, you know, crunk and like from Ja Rule to 50 Cent.
Yeah. crunk. Remember that? Let's get crunk.
Yeah, that dates me. That puts you in a time period there.
Yeah.
But
don't worry, our time period's way before that.
Yeah. And I liked a lot of hip hop, but not the crunk-ish as much. Yeah. I liked Outkast and stuff like that. Wu-Tang. But anyway, it was at that point that my best buddy Nick showed me all this rock that had been happening in the 2000s that I was completely unaware of. He's like, "Have you heard of The Strokes?"
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "No." So he showed me all that, and that kind of like, I don't know, it was like I found my kind of place again. I was like, "Oh yeah, this is still going on in a different way," and kind of got that, took me to a new inspiration there.
Nice one. So now you're in college and you start playing guitar and you start realizing in college, right, at NYU, that you're not, you don't want to be a jazz musician forever.
Yeah.
Now where do you get a guitar?
I got my first guitar actually in Seattle in the summer at this place called Trading Musician. I got a $50 amp. It was the only one loud enough to play with drums. Started playing with my buddy. Started writing songs. It was kind of just rough and tumble at that time.
Nice.
But I had a jazz saxophone teacher who's named Lenny Pickett. He was like the leader of the SNL band.
Oh, wow.
He's like the screaming sax in the intro of SNL.
Oh, shit, you know? Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Wait, the dude that used to make there was a dude that used to make crazy faces. Do you remember him in the SNL band?
I don't think it's him.
It's after him. He was probably after. There was go back and watch old SNL episodes. The saxophone guy used to make fucking faces, like just melting.
Didn't he have kind of like long hair
long
and a ponytail?
Blonde, and he was like over aggressive, but I loved him. And then I think
he might have been pre
Lenny. I'm thinking pre Lenny. Okay, so Lenny, that's the lead guy in that band.
Yeah.
He was the star of the SNL band. I mean, that's like kind of how the camera is always.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
oh, that's cool.
He was right there. But I remember I was kind of having second thoughts about jazz. I was telling the director of the jazz program, I don't know, maybe I want to switch to music business or something like that. Mm-hmm. And he was like very discouraging. He's like, "Don't do that. You're not going to be in a pop band. It's not going to work out," basically. And but Lenny, when I had a private sax lesson with him, I told him the same thing. He was like, "All right, how about we just talk about the music industry during your lesson then? Like, you don't even have to do sax." So that was cool.
That's pretty cool.
Supportive.
Yeah.
Shit.
So then you start Dreamers.
I started a band.
Is that it?
Yeah, I started another band right after college. We did our thing for a few years. It kind of like, you know, we had a little bit of love and working through it, a little success. Wasn't working out, creative differences, drama, problems. It felt like a huge learning process.
Is this in New York?
In New York.
You stayed in New York after college. And now you're, what, living in New York, working a job? Or what are you doing? And just saying, I want
bartending.
Bartending. Nice. And you want to be a rock musician. Is that what the first band sounded like? Did it sound like Dreamers at all?
A little bit. It was more a little bit more indie rock, quartet, 2000s, you know, kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Strokes mixed with Nirvana.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, bartending life was not a bad life.
Mm-mm.
But after that band wasn't working out. Just wanted to get more serious. We broke it up. Me and the manager and the drummer actually we started a new band, which would become Dreamers, and that's when I just started like living in my practice space instead of having an apartment.
Wait, the manager of the bar?
No, the manager of I had a friendager of the first band who was our friend who managed the band. Yeah. Anyways,
that'd be awesome. The manager of your bar is all. That's it. We're breaking this band up.
Right.
We're gonna form a new band. Jesus Christ.
Off,
like,
everybody who worked at that bar was
lucky.
In a band.
Worked there.
So
really?
That could probably happen.
Oh shit.
Or they were a painter or something like.
Yes. Yeah. Something artistic.
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all right.
I realized I could, if I didn't have an apartment, I could work only one day a week instead of four. So I just started crashing my practice space.
Perfect.
Like that's when I got serious for the first time and kind of lived it and started getting. Songs started getting decent, and that was Dreamers. Went from there.
Started in New York City.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
Right on. And Nelson, he's been in the band since the start, right?
Yeah, so I met him at that time when I was living in the practice space.
Okay, cool.
Wanted to play a show and found him just through that.
And then later on, you guys added Jacob.
Yeah, we had another drummer for a while. Eventually, when we signed a deal, moved to L.A., started touring, left, he kind of like didn't want to continue. So
he didn't want to move away from New York.
Yeah, but it worked out. Like we had 2 weeks before like a tour. We got an opening tour and we auditioned like eight drummers and Jacob was the no-brainer guy.
Nice.
Never looked back. The circle was complete.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I saw you guys did a run with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Was that Scott or Chester?
It was when Chester was singing.
Nice.
Yeah. That's Chester Bennington from Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Incredible, man. We were like just nothing at that time, but we got a song played on Alt Nation, and it was like getting a lot of tweets, I guess, so it did well in Alt Nation. They heard of us that way, and yeah, fortunately took us on like a month and a half tour, Stone Temple Pilots, which is, you know, legendary, especially as a grunge head.
Oh, it's amazing. Oh, yeah. Amazing band.
Amazing.
I got to see them with Scott because of you guys, the Dirty Heads, actually, several years ago. I believe it was when I tour managed you guys, right? Was it? Was it like 2010 or was
I
it after
so.
That?
Was that at BuzzFest in Austin
no,
or something?
No, dude, it was the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Oh, that's right,
roast.
It was K-Rock.
It was the K-Rock Weenie Roast in
the
Irvine.
Old roast.
Yes.
The old Weenie Roast right here in Irvine. So I got, you know, whatever, all access pass because I'm with the Dirty Heads. Stone Temple Pilots are the big secret band with Scott. Yeah. So I got to stand on a scaffolding, like on the side of the stage, and just look down and just watch him spin circles and dance. And he was pretty skinny, and he was looking pretty rough at that point in time. So I knew that he wasn't well.
I remember that. And then we did do Stone Temple Pilots at the BuzzFest, but that was with Chester. So I got to see it with both.
Chester killed it too. Dude. Yeah.
Chester had an amazing voice.
Oh, his voice was so powerful. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
He's a legend.
Both of them, man. Freaking rest in peace. That's insane.
Real rock stars.
That's insane.
They were so supportive to us too. Like they put our name big on all the posters and were just really welcoming. Kind of showed us the way of righteousness.
Yeah.
Like, we were slumming it because our van broke down. So I borrowed my dad's Volvo and we got a trailer and we're just like making it happen. And
that is amazing.
Yeah. At one point, Chester's like, "Where are you guys sleeping?" And we're like, "You know, crashing with friends, whatever, get a Motel 6 sometimes." He was like, "Fuck that. I got you a hotel tonight."
Nice.
Got us a nice hotel. And then the next day, like his assistant guy was like, "Yo, he got you hotels for the whole month."
Oh, that's amazing.
Out of pocket. We're like, what? Crazy.
See?
That's cool.
No one does that.
See,
like,
that's
we're
the shit
an opening here. Band. Like, that's just.
Yeah.
And there's like no reason that it shouldn't be like that.
Right.
If you're way at the top and you're killing it and it's like you see a band working that hard and a Volvo Dragon. I mean, come on.
And not
what
every
a great
band,
guy. What a great guy.
Not every big band, but I'd say, you know, most of them, it's like they were probably slumming it in the van in the car You know, we've all been there. We did it as the dirtiest for 8 or 9 years in a van.
Yep.
And it's, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You got to do it. It's tough, but when you do look back at it, you're like, all right, that was fun though.
Yeah.
Like I said, we talked about this on an episode before. Always your craziest best memories are from the days in the van or in the Volvo. I mean,
yeah. Of course.
Because you guys are sitting on top of each other. Yeah. You have no choice but to interact. Like the bigger the band gets, the farther apart people get.
Yeah.
Eventually, bands get so big, they all have their own bus.
Yeah.
Right.
See you on stage.
Don't even talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope we never get there. I don't mind the own bus thing, but.
Well, you guys won't because you guys can't play Mario Kart from 5 different buses. So
you could with online these days.
Shit, you're right.
Yeah, the future is now.
5 buses. Let's do it.
Man.
But yeah, you were talking about Bradshaw broke his foot, who was on the other day.
Bradshaw was a few episodes back on our show.
Chester broke his foot right before that tour, too, and he was still dancing around on stage like fucking maniac.
Got to push through it.
Just like Bradshaw, who pushed through it.
Yeah.
Worked 18 hours a day. Broken foot.
Yeah, the stage manager, Bradshaw, we had on a few shows back, he had a huge boot on his foot for the last, I don't know, what, week and a half, two weeks of the tour?
Like that,
just like a ski boot, man.
I got a text, and unfortunately, I didn't get the text until later on in the day. I think I was driving home from vacation or something, and it was from Tom, you know, from tour, the stage manager, and he was... The text was because they all work together in New Orleans. I believe like a House of Blues. What's the name of that theater?
He was at House of Blues.
Dang.
Now he's at
the theater. I will remember
the name of the theater. I know Tom and Bradshaw do. And Tom texted me, Duddy, will you hit up Bradshaw and tell him not to come into work today? He's trying to come into work and he has a 104 fever. Bradshaw just doesn't stop working. Oh my goodness.
If it hits 106, I'll go home.
So with having Nick in here, and you know, he was on this summer tour, and the Dreamers were not exactly like all the other bands. If you just were to you know, put their all of our albums down together and listen to them, you would think, okay, I could see why Bikini Trill, the Dirty Heads, Interrupters, and 311 would be on a tour. It makes sense. The Dreamers, they were a different style band than us, but the one thing that we loved about them, and which everyone on tour loved about them, is they were just themselves the whole time. Even though they knew probably coming into this tour they were going to be a little different. Who knows what the crowds, is the crowd going to accept us, whatever. But every night they went out there and they just did their thing. And you win everyone over when you do that. You just be yourself. That's today's subject, is just be yourself. Because if you're just out there, just being yourself, doing your thing, doing what you're confident in and what you love, trust me, people are going to be attracted to that and they're going to feel that. If you're out there trying, like they could have gone out and tried to maybe switch their setup a little bit, maybe play a couple little reggae covers or something, come out and did a Bob Marley song or something, you know, and everyone would have been like, what's going on here? But no, they didn't. They just went, they did their thing, they put on their show, and you could tell by the end of every show, they won a lot of fans over in the crowd. They won every band over.
They won
on tour.
Every band over.
Every band loved this, watching the Dreamers, and just every band member is just cool, and they just got their own style, and they're just themselves, and that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do.
It starts out with, you know, we've talked about this on previous shows, which is like, love what you do, believe in your sound, believe in your look, believe in whatever, and then once you have that, just continually be that, you know, believe in it, and then be it, and so that's what we wanted to touch on with you. The be yourself part. And you guys came on this tour. What were your thoughts? I mean, I'm sure you guys were a little nervous or going, this isn't our normal tour. I'm sure you tour with more rock bands or indie bands, right?
Yeah, first of all, appreciate that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Second of all, we got the offer from 311. Mm-hmm. And it was like March 9th. And they're like, we have 2 days to decide because 311 day is coming up in 2 days. We have to announce the tour. We're like, first we're like, this is kind of more reggae leaning. Like, are we going to fit? Are the fans going to like us? Is it going to be the right thing to do? And then, we realized that it's kind of all alternative radio listeners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Heads are on the same radio stations that we are.
Totally.
And we're like, you know, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's try it. It was also our first amphitheater tour.
Nice.
So, we're like, let's do it. And kind of seeing 311 set live kind of made it make a little more sense to me because they got some reggae vibes, but they also like their earlier stuff is super grungy.
Totally, mm-hmm.
Super rock and roll.
Definitely.
So, it kind of works in that way, and they told us we were on the top of their list of bands they wanted to open up, so we're just like, that's amazing.
That's rad. I think it was awesome. I think that
it turned out great for us.
Yeah, and the fans really enjoyed it. You don't want every band to sound the same.
Yeah.
That'd be boring. So it's cool to have a little mix up in there. And I think everyone's just dug it.
Something I've noticed today about fans, especially young fans, like they're way less genre identity.
Totally.
They don't say, I am hip hop, I am rock, I am whatever.
So true.
You'll kind of mix it up with playlists these days.
I'm just a little everything. And
in the past, I was like, either you're punk or you're disco. Or even in Seattle, it was like, are you Nirvana or Pearl Jam? Like, it was that specific.
That's true. Even within, I remember in the like British thing, there was Oasis or Blur. You cannot like both. And same with, it was like Pearl Jam or Nirvana. You fucking can't have both of those records.
Yeah.
It used to be pretty true. And when I was in high school, you were punk. You were fucking punk. You dressed punk. You didn't listen to shit but punk.
No.
Yeah.
I never thought about that, but you're right. People just listen to music nowadays.
Cool. I think that has a lot to do probably with streaming and playlists and shit.
Maybe.
You know, like a lot of playlists you'll go and it's not just one genre. It'll be like, summer fun, and it'll be a mix of like all sorts of different genres.
Pandora. It's it plays stuff around. Yes. You know, it's
and
not
you find a lot of cool artists that way too. Yep. Like, what is this? You look it up, I've never heard of this guy. Next thing you know, you're listening to all their albums, you know?
Yeah, in a previous generation you would have had money for one CD, you know, this week. And that's what you listen to. So like, see now you just have access to everything. So why not mix it up? And
now that I think about it, this tour was like a dope playlist, and every single band was uniquely different.
Totally.
Not a single band on this tour actually sounds anything like the other band. That's kind of rad. Yeah.
So, man, be yourself. That's what we loved about the Dreamers. They just, every day, just, they were themselves.
They have a different look, a different sound, and it was just, when your songs are great, like you have super good songs. They're all structured well. They're catchy as shit, and they're good, and you use like these cool dark chords, you know, that I fucking love. Mm-hmm. I like the drownier, minor chords and stuff, so I was I was in on day one. And it set a different tone right in the middle of the show there, right after, you know, the show gets started with a fucking party band, you know, Bikini Trill. Yeah. And then you guys set it into this nice rock zone. And from there, it kind of unravels into, because then you got the Interrupters came up next that were ska punk. They're rock
punky,
too.
Punky
They're
ska,
pretty freaking punk. And then it gets into the Dirty Heads 311 or 311 Dirty Heads, whichever night it was. Yeah. What a fuck. That's why I never sat back and thought about it, but it was a pretty perfect unraveling of the night, each one of those shows when all of you guys were there.
Totally.
Agreed.
So man, be yourself. You know, that doesn't just go with music. Anything you're doing in life, any job you have, you get a new job, you go there the first day, everyone's dressed in a certain way. Don't go out that next day and go buy a bunch of clothes to try and fit in, because you're going to come the next day and everyone's going to be like, what the hell is going on here? If you're a fucking nerd and you go to work and you're wearing a Dungeon and Dragon shirt because you played Dungeon and Dragon, guess what? Your boss might be like, no way. I also play Dungeon and Dragon. You, my friend, get a raise.
D&D it up.
And that is going to make you what, Jake?
It's going to make you feel good.
It's going to make you feel real freaking good to play Dungeon and Dragon with your boss, getting a higher paid because you got raised because you D&D'ing it up.
You got to let your boss win.
All right. Speaking of feeling good, on this show, we have a couple sponsors that make us feel good. And today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Koi CBD.
Koi CBD. Mm-hmm. Koi legends. CBD.
So I talk about it every episode. I do the drops every morning. They make me feel good. They're good for any sort of like joint issues or gut and inflammation or pain. It's amazing. They got creams for you. It's amazing. They're going to make you feel good. We talk about it all the time. But today I'm going to talk about another product that I just recently got for them. And it is Koi CBD for my dog. Okay. I got these soft chews. I got this spray that I did a couple times. It took me like a couple days of me like opening my dog's mouth and spraying a couple sprays in. And now I literally hold the bottle up. I go, and she just kind of opens up a little bit. I go, peep, peep, and I give her a couple sprays.
It works on dogs.
It works on dogs. So here's the deal with this is I recently, a month or two ago, had to put down one of my dogs. 14-year-old dog. She was amazing. And she was a big old English sheepdog, super tall. And, you know, tall, big dogs, their hips start to go. So her last 6 months, she was having a lot of hip problems, and there was a few months there where, like, she could barely get up on her own. And when we get her up, she, you know, she was able to walk around and cruise around, but sitting down and getting up was tough for her. So I ordered some CBD for her online, and I'm not kidding. Within a few days, I saw her being able to get up easier. It just looked like she was in a lot less pain. You know, it's not going to save her life. Unfortunately, it was time, and she had to go. But I noticed how much it did help her. So I'm starting my other dog on it early. She's like 9. She's getting to the older age of dogs. She's fine. She's all good. But I'm starting to give her CBD now, and I'm hitting it early. I'm not messing around.
Nice.
Get in front of it. And I'll say this too, like Lorna, my wife, she doesn't smoke. She doesn't do any of that. She woke up in the middle of the night the other night. I'm watching TV and she walked straight into the bathroom and she's like, I got a headache. She's like, I just need some CBD droppers. And I'm like, what? And she boom. And she told me, she's like, when you were on tour, she's like, I used a whole bottle of this and I'm halfway through the next one. She's all, it works, you know, cause she runs.
It really does.
And she was like, yeah, if my legs are hurting, I use this. And she's all, if I have a headache, I use this. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
I didn't even know.
She was into it.
So check it out,
there
people.
There goes my stash.
KroyCBD.com. And if you put in code DuddyB at checkout, you're going to get 20% off. That's right. Check it out.
Big also, savings.
KroyCBD. and also, Sticky Vapes, another product that we use all the time here on the Feeling Good with Duddy podcast. It's an amazing company. Really cool people that run it. We made some of our own vape pens with them, with the Dirty Heads. This is the Indica one. We had a Sativa one here earlier, but Jake already opened it up and started smoking on it. That's all good. That's what they're for.
Yeah, we forgot weed, and we were standing around. We're
Don't
trying
tell
to,
them that, Jake.
We forgot. Duddy forgot the weed. Duddy forgot didn't. Weed. And we got here, and he ruined everyone's day, and so we just ripped open the Koi CBD hitter.
I did. I left all the pot at home.
Yeah, all of it.
What a stoner thing to
I
do.
Know. I realized, like, right when I pulled up. Right when I pulled up, I was here on time, and then everyone else was late. So I was in my car, and I was like, oh, no big deal. I'll just smoke a bowl. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, my God, I fucking left it all
you
home.
You won't smoke
I
a
will
bowl.
Not. I will nope. just think about it. But no so, bowl. Yeah, Sticky Vapes, great product, great company. Check it out. Jake, where do you use your Sticky Vape?
I use mine in the podcast recording room.
Okay. And next, last but not least today, we are also brought to you by Onnit, and another amazing company. These guys make so many cool supplements and products. It's insane. You have to go to their website, onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T. That's two N's, O-N-N-I-T. And if you /Duddy after that, you're going to get 10% off your order. But that being said, Onnit, great people, great products. I know they just sent my brother a huge shipment. Dude. Is there anything that you're super stoked on?
Oh, well, I'm psyched on the Alpha Brain, and I wish you would have used some this morning. You wouldn't have forgot the weed. And then I'm also there's a pre-workout, and then there's a electrolytes blend. Those are the two that I'm just mainlining, because when you go surfing, you just get thirsty as fuck when you're surfing all day. It's hot out there. You're paddling a lot. And so I use the electrolyte and the pre-workout, and that's been extending me in the water like a lot. It's super noticeable. And I did a run yesterday. Boom, boom, boom. Hit the pre-workout. So that's the stuff I'm in love with. Although I'm taking the Total Human and I'm taking the Alpha Brain.
Yep, all good products. So check it out. Whatever you're looking for, whatever you need for your workout or just your daily routine, trust me, they got something for you. They've got so many awesome products. So I just recommend going to their website and checking out what they got and seeing what is going to work best for you. Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, /Duddy, 10% off. Enjoy your day.
Get on it.
On it. All right.
Okay, is there anything else? That's it, huh? Oh, we did it.
We did it.
All right, bye, everyone. Oh, no, wait, shit. Never mind. Oh, we have a new thing.
Okay, we got a new thing we want to talk about here today, people. Jake, tell them about it.
We have a new segment that we are going to bring in, and we're going to do a bitchin' little song, but we haven't made one yet for the start of it. It's brand new. We just thought of it. It is called the to-don't list. Things to don't ever do again. Nice. Right? Everyone knows what a to-do list is. Yeah, fucking rake the yard, you know, don't be an asshole, whatever. This is the to-don't list. This is litter the yard, be an asshole. Okay, so here we go. We have the first entry to the to-don't list, and it's a pretty big one, and my brother brought this up today, and I said, guess what? That's going on the to-don't list. Everybody needs to stop correcting people in their text messages.
Or
stop correcting
comments.
The spelling on comments on social media. Stop correcting people's spelling. We
all
it.
Know there's an apostrophe, R-E. We get it. We fucked up sometimes. Sometimes you mess up.
Yes, it's the wrong there. It's not you. It's not Y-O-U-R. It's Y-O-U-R apostrophe.
It's
we
our, not
get
our.
It.
We
yes.
know.
It's communication. We're communicating. There's a thing called spell check that fucks you up sometimes. Let's not get blamey online. This is a divisive time, right? Mm-hmm. Do we need to make things more divisive, or can we just accept that when someone said you're and they meant you are. You get it's the same sound. If someone said it, you'd never correct it.
Sometimes so in a text, you don't have to correct yourself either. If you asterisk, you know, sometimes it's just one letter. It's like, yeah. You know, that's
it. We get it. We know you messed up. You don't have to asterisk. Yes, thank you.
And the sad thing is, I do that. If I write the wrong word, I will immediately text under the correct word I don't get the attack. I don't want to have to do that anymore.
Don't. You shouldn't have
Can
to
Can I
that.
Stop?
You shouldn't have to do that because you shouldn't care because the other people shouldn't fucking care. Okay, and
dude,
here's the reality.
I should just be here's my the reality. Fucking self, a guy who can't
yeah, be
spell.
Yourself.
God damn it.
The reality of the situation is nobody in the history of social media has ever been looking at a comment or a post, noticing that there's something spelled wrong, and then looking in the comments and then going, oh my God, this person corrected them. That person's a genius.
Thanks
for that. No, what they're thinking is, what a fucking douchebag.
What a dick. And they're going,
what a dick.
What a dick. No one ever goes down and sees that you corrected them and then thumbs up your comment and hits you with an at mention and a thank you. That doesn't happen.
Yeah. So now unless, all you're doing is just upsetting people.
Unless you get a really unfortunate autocorrect that gives it a whole new meaning.
That
Sometimes
is unfortunate.
You might need to correct yourself in that situation.
You should always reread what you wrote in case it completely changes the meaning. And then all that, and even then, everyone should still be able to assess what you really meant. Yeah. And then just put the laughing to tears emoji.
Yeah.
Just put laughing to tears.
LOL.
That means we're all LOL, dude.
Yeah.
Maybe two people hugging, like we're all in this
What's
together.
The one, like rolling on the floor,
rolling on.
Okay,
the
there's
floor.
Another thing. Can we put this?
Oh wait, no, save it, dude. Are we rolling? You're gonna roll this into another to don't.
Just
save
so
it.
Sick of all
I know. Daddy's
hands.
Got a lot. You guys think I'm the angry one with the whiteboard. Trust me. Okay. So I think we've put a stamp on it. Everybody collectively as a society, and I'm talking globally, stop correcting everyone on the spelling. Let's all just know what people meant. And then we can all, it'll save everyone time or it'll save everyone's keyboards. I'm talking, 3 billion less clicks a year on the keyboard?
Dude, that's got to be recycling. That's like recycling of some sort.
Oh, yeah, that's less plastic, okay, in a landfill in Arizona. You got it, dude. Let's just all be nice. All right, no more correcting of the spelling.
Pretty soon, there won't even be text messages. It'll just be going directly into your brain. You know, I'll have the Neuralink.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Elon Musk is making it. Then you don't have to worry about that.
Well, how do you think?
How are you going to correct that?
What are the trolls going to be then?
Yes.
Oh no.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Think of that.
How would you troll then?
Make people think they thought something.
Right.
But it's really just your text message.
Oh my God. I don't know. He'll say, I'm going to your party. And they'll say, I know that you meant to say that with the Y-O-U-R. You'll just have to do that.
That's frightening.
That's not good. All right, yeah, let's get that, Elon Musk. We need to end this whole shit. Quick style, or I'll keep saying things, and that's not good. All right, let's move on to one of our favorite segments here, Bandcamp. You do have a Bandcamp story for us, right? These are stories from the road or stories from life, but since we have a musician, this one will be a story from the road, and I do have a musical drop, so...
Oh, and this one time at Bandcamp?
Ah. All right, you asked me this right before the show. I figured I would tell one from our tour this summer.
Nice.
I have a pretty good story.
Sweet.
Well, the last day of tour usually involves antics, mm-hmm. pranks. This one, the story starts with the underwear incident, as you call it.
The underwear incident.
They tried to prank someone from Bikini Trill by dyeing him blue. In Jared's ice bath.
So mm-hmm. Jared from the Dirty Heads sat in an ice bath every single day. And then other members of other bands would start to jump in his ice bath. And the opening band, Bikini Trill, which we talked about on the last episode, the tour review episode, they were basically a walking tie-dye band. You know, they were amazing. And so these guys put paint in the ice bath.
20 bottles of blue... food coloring into the ice bath thinking,
Tony.
If he gets in here, it's going to dye him blue. And we wanted to dye him blue before the first show.
So this is Bikini Troll, the opening act. They tried to dye Tony blue and it didn't take.
He literally was like, well, I will just paint myself if you want it.
Okay, so that's where that starts. And then
Bikini Troll took it and ran with it and put all kinds of colors in there. And Lauren put her hair dye in there, which is pink and stuff. And they're like, you want to take a tie-dye ice bath? I'm like, of course. Who am I?
Yeah.
Say no to that. So I get in my underwear, just take an ice bath. It's all very funny. Everyone makes a story. Ha ha, good times. Mm-hmm. I have like pink streaks all over my chest, and I'm just in my boxers. And then Jared says, well, I bet you won't do the show like that. I'm like, yeah, probably not. He's like, I'll give you $100. So I have to give Jared credit for the underwear incident.
Yeah.
He's like, I was like, yep, of course I'll do it for $100.
Now it changes so everything.
Gave me $100 and I put it in my panty line and played the show like that.
Ashton, can we
gave you.
Ashton, can we play these videos I sent? I actually got a couple little videos of this going down.
So for the listeners, you guys got to go to YouTube, our YouTube page, Feeling Good with Duddy on YouTube, and you will be able to see exactly what we're talking about. Oh, here goes Nick right here.
He is running out on stage in his underwear.
Aggressive, too. You're marching out there. And who's running in front of you just celebrating the fact that you're half naked?
There's another one, too. That's
we got the front angle.
There's the beginning of that.
Nice.
Show that other one, Ashton.
You got a second video?
I got
to
one
queue
where
up.
It's before he runs out there. Did you not get the other one?
Whatever.
He'll get it.
But, Salt Lake City, no less. Getting nude for all the Mormons. Yeah.
Is this the other one, Doug?
Yeah, here
we go. We got a second video.
You know, a minute before they're going on.
Oh, yeah. Looking like a Halloween massacre right there. The dye on his chest looks like blood, and he's got his underwear on. His guitar's strapped over, so you really can't even tell if he's got underwear on. It just looks like he's naked with the guitar.
It's like if he was just in his boxers, you'd be like, okay, that's kind of weird, whatever. But the pink streak makes just like, what the fuck is going on here?
He just murdered someone.
But
all right, so yeah, you can continue your story. Sorry.
there's more to the story. That was the first part. But this last day, the last night, it was like straight out of a movie. So I don't know if you remember, like, you smoked everybody out with a huge joint.
Yeah.
That sounds fair.
It was like after you play, we also, you know, I got super blaze. Anyway, backstage, we're side stage for 311. And at one point they come off the stage and like Nick from 311 walked by me. I was like, yeah, yeah. And he gave me kind of he shook his head like he was kind of stressed or something like that. I was like, whatever. And the manager comes up to us and is like, he's straight out of a movie. He's like, Nick's losing his voice. Does anybody know how to sing down? And I was like,
what the fuck?
No.
Well, I know down, but like, not really. I was like, I don't know if I can sing it. But I had like a little time. I had a few songs. So I just like listened to it on Spotify like 4 or 5 times, committing it to memory. I was like, okay, this part. Got it. Really just he sings the chorus, you know, SA raps most of the time.
And that's the last song they play. That's like their big ender. So this is the last show of the tour, last song, their biggest hit.
He's like, so I was like, how do I know if he wants me to go out and sing? And he's like, you'll know. So I'm like, blaze out of my mind. I'm like, okay. And
you'll know.
So Nick was talking to the audience before the last song. And he's like, great show, whatever. He's like, sorry, my voice is a little hoarse. Hopefully somebody comes out and helps me sing this song. I was like, all right. So they gave me a wireless mic and I just ran out and sang it.
Nice.
No fucking way.
That's pretty fucking rad.
That's dope.
Yeah,
are you still in your underwear?
I didn't see that.
I had put a shirt on at this
point. I'm so sad. We left that last show like halfway, three quarters of the way through.
You guys had to go to the airport.
We had to. That was like the time our runner had to be able to take us all. So yeah, we had to bounce. Yeah.
Dude, so that, how was that?
It was amazing, and I was high, and it was crazy, and it was really cool of them to be that inclusive to us that they would let us do that.
That's pretty rad.
That's super cool.
Let us join them. The last song, you know, we're talking about good vibes on tour, as it was, you know, the whole summer.
It was very good vibes.
So that was my Star Is Born moment.
Oh, that's a great story. That's fucking hilarious.
I love that.
Does anybody know the words to down? Quick, is there a doctor on the place? That's hilarious. We got to get it going because I know Nick has a writing session right up the street in Costa Mesa. That's why he was able to come in here today. And he said, I'd like to be out of here by noon. It's basically a minute till noon right now. So let's just get it rocking.
Let's do a couple little plug here things for. Do you got anything you want to talk about? You guys got anything coming up?
I had more shit to ask you too. I'd love to have you back. You're like a real fucking interesting guest. So
I would love to come back anytime. Cool. You know, I'm in town until middle of October.
Nice.
Hit me up. That's when we start a headline tour, which is the only thing I have to plug. Really, we're doing our own tour.
Nice. Oh, dude, we're doing a live show at the Improv in Irvine on October 7th. It's a Monday night.
Yeah. You want to come? We'd love.
If you want to come, dude,
I'm in town.
All right.
We'll probably pull you up on stage and just chat it up for a hot second.
That sounds
Why
awesome.
Not, dude?
Nice.
Hell yeah, dude. So we might be able to have Nick down at the Improv show.
Before we go.
Yeah, take your time.
Have you ever shit your pants?
Of course.
Do you have a good shit your pants story?
Do we save this for the Improv?
No,
we want to do it now?
I want to do it right now.
You have time? Are you cool? Because it's noon right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm okay. Cool. I'm cool.
Let's go.
We're going to talk about something this important.
Yeah, okay.
I got time.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I haven't really shit my pants as an adult, fortunately, knock on wood, that much lately. I have early memories of shitting my pants in first grade and stuff like that. But what I did not too long ago was I shit the bed.
Oh.
Yes, and it was when I had horrible food poisoning from 7-Eleven hot dogs.
Ooh.
That'll do it.
In 7-Eleven late night getting snacks, and the guy's like, you want a hot dog? I'll give you 2 for 1. And I was like, oh, what a nice guy. Thank you. But I didn't realize they're probably really old.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get rid of them. Didn't think of that. So I got really sick for 2 days.
You like diarrhea? I'll give you 2 for 1.
And never trust a fart with food.
I think he actually said, I'll give you poo for fun.
Yeah.
Never trust. So you're awake. In bed,
trusted a fart.
Trusted a fart.
Shouldn't have, basically.
Is it like
blasted your sheets?
Change the sheets.
Yeah.
Night has to restart.
It's a little blast.
That's a little blast.
Okay.
Dude.
So,
you know, that's awesome. That was a nice quick one, dude. And that was
quick
a fucking
one.
Funny one.
All right. We needed that to
dude,
end.
And before you go, anything you want to plug? What's going on with Dreamers?
Anything in your life? Headlining tour coming up.
Yeah, headline tour, okay. All US. We're writing new music. You know, we just came out with the album this year, but we're going to be coming out with another EP. Stay tuned.
Nice one.
And Dreamers Join Us. That's Instagram.
Yeah, that's
and
our
we'll
Instagram and Twitter.
And the dreamers.com is
come join us.
Dreamerscomeandjoinus.com.
Yeah, just dreamers join us. We have dreamersuniverse.com, which is a whole nother universe.
Nice.
If you're prepared for that.
Dreamersmultiverse.com.
Dreamers Multiverse coming soon.
All right, cool. So yeah, we just talked about it for a second. We're doing a live show October 7th. At the Irvine Improv, and we are so freaking excited. You can go to feelinggoodwithduddy.com to get tickets. You can go to irvineimprov.com to get your tickets. We've got a couple different packages. They've got some cool like VIP booths that you can buy that come with like, you
come
know,
with dinner, come with dinner and like and a some big booth. I think you have to have at least 7 people, but they'll let you get
four.
Four people?
I think it's four people. You get your own booth. And then we also have just general admissions, just $20. And then, you know, and then there's also like a VIP package that you get like early entry. You get a t-shirt and you get like a quick little meet and greet with me and Jake and take a picture. And then you guys get like front row, you know, VIP seating as well.
And the VIP
and that's like
$50. Was half sold out 2 days after.
Yeah,
the
so I think
that one
those
might
VIPs
be,
are already almost close
get
to
them
sold
fast.
Out. But check it out. Tickets are going quick. Yeah, also our Patreon page. If you don't know, we also just recently started a Patreon page. It's a place where we put a lot of just extra behind the scenes footage, a lot of just extra content of us on the road, us in the studio, things like that. It's a way for us to make a little bit of extra money to help pay for, you know, all the nice people here at Reamp and just out on the road helping us create this show for you guys. It will always be a free show. We will always give you free content, but you know, we will always have some extra content too. It's $4.99 a month. It's cheap. It's the price of a cup of coffee. You're gonna help out the show and you're gonna get a lot of cool extra content. So patreon.com/feelinggoodwithzeddy. And as always, cutlassbrand.com. Check it out. Always a sponsor of the show. Great product, cutlassbrand.com. If you go there and you put in code feeling good, you're going to get 20% off. What else? Anything else?
I think that's pretty much it. That outro came in pretty hot. Sorry, guys.
It did. It's okay. Thanks again, Nick, for stopping by.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Make sure you guys check out the Dreamers. Thanks to Mark and Ashton and everyone over here at Reamp Studios for helping out today.
Yeah.
Peace out, guys. Have a good day. Later, y'all. I know there's an apostrophe in all, okay?
Yeah, we got it. Is there?
Is there an apostrophe in feeling?
I think so.
There is. There's a weird one because we spell it wrong. We know that there's no G on our feeling. All right? It's feeling good.
Feeling.
All
right. Feeling.
Pretty fucking judgy out there.
All right? We get it. We get it. We fucking get it.
All right. We forgot the G, dude.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal.
all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.